Why the cross? Brethren, do you know that this man that was hanging on the cross on Calvary, this man that he came by birth, blood and water, in the womb of a woman, this man that they were beating and slapping and hitting everywhere, did you know or do you know that that was the creator of the heavens and the earth? Hey, his name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And you have not sat down to say, why Emmanuel? That is God with us. The man that was hanging on the cross, that was crying and weeping in anguish, was the creator of that man that was killing him. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And his disciples, who were not sure of what was happening to, when they came to arrest him, one brought out a sword and cut off the ear, ready to fight and die. I say, hey, stop that. You think I'm not able to protect myself? Hallelujah. Another account to say, when they say we're looking for that Jesus, and he said, I am he. Anointing released, all of them fell down. Then they stood up again. Instead of them to go back, they still held him. It was the Lord's doing. Why the cross? True fellowship, therefore, is what is written in 1 John chapter 1, from verse 3 to verse 7. That which we have seen, John is telling us, see, revelated people, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, the apostles, the believers. And truly, I'm talking about true fellowship now, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, the Father, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord. That is where you see the cross. Fellowship with the Father and with one another. Fellowship with the Father, vertical and horizontal, one another. That is where the true fellowship is. If you are out of this type of fellowship, you are automatically in darkness. You are no partaker of the light of the gospel. What is the cross therefore saying? The cross is saying, love the Father and love the Son too. In 1 John chapter 4, and verse 21. And this commandment have we from him. It's a commandment. That he who love God. If you love God, shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah if you love God. What does he say? He who loveth God, love your brother also. Chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that is the Father, loveth him also that is begotten of him, that is the Son. Verse 1 again, that last statement. And everyone that loveth him that begat, if you love my Father, he begat me, you must love me also that is begotten of him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. It is interwoven. You can't say you love God and hate his children. You can't say you love me and you hate my children. Your love for me as a father is demonstrated by how you relate with my children. If you hate me, you will hate my children. If you love me, you will love my children. That is the symbol of the cross. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 4. The popular scripture from verse 7. Let's keep reading until I tell you to stop. Up to verse 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because that is what the cross symbolizes. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 7 first. Verse 7 again, before you go there. It says, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Listen. Okay. Okay. Verse 12 and verse 13 of John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We are coming back here to 1 John chapter 4. Listen, so that you understand that statement. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 is my emphasis. Which are born. Are you born again? Of who? Not of blood. Not your papa and your mama. Nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God. But if you are born of God, if you are born of God, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, where we are reading, it says, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If you cannot love one another, if there is no love in you, and this is not the kind of sensual love that I love you only for what I get from you, I love you, amen, charity, not because of what I will get from you, but somehow I love you because you are my brother, you are my sister, we are joined together by the cross of Jesus. Let's read verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. If you don't love, you don't know God. You have not caught the revelation of the cross. For God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us. This is how he manifested it. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This is how love was manifested. So herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin, that we might live through him. He said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That is a disposition where somebody also will be happy because of you. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That is the evidence. And his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. This is evident, you know you are in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. For the spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Did you see them mentioning any anointing here? No anointing, no. And God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What is that give up boldness? Because as he is, and he is full of love, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, because if I have to set barriers in relating with you, fear of what? You see, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. He first loved and purchased our salvation on the cross on Calvary. Verse 20 and verse 21. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he's a liar. Any liar here? For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen face to face like this, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You are a liar. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love your brother also. And the church we say, hallelujah. And we are supposed to be a restored ministry, restored to the apostolic faith, restored to the character of Christ that we see in the Bible. And part of the practice of the early church is what we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. The Bible says the apostles, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They even sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had a need. And they, the apostles, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Praise the Lord. By this, men will know you are his disciples. By this. Amen. Let's see some few benefits of fellowship. Number one, the benefit of the type of fellowship I'm talking about that is symbolized by the cross. Number one, it brings down the presence of God. Where two or three are gathered, God is in the midst of us. The Bible says so. Because two are better than one. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. You see the power of fellowship? Do you know that even 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, from the understanding that Peter was saying there, husband and wife, do you know? He said, likewise, you husband, dwell with the wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as, now this is where I am going. As you look at your wife, brother, you are heirs together. You are heirs together of the grace of life. That your prayers be not hindered. Your prayers will be hindered if because of fighting, if because of any matrimonial problem, you are not able to come together to pray. According to this scripture, if you are having your own personal prayer under such grudges and whatever, you are wasting your time. God will not answer your prayer because you are not recognized until your two hearts are knit together in that marriage. See the benefit of fellowship. Don't break a fellowship between you and your wife, between you and your husband, for any reason. Number two, it enhances spiritual revival. When they come together under frustration, in Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to verse 31. Acts chapter 4. They came together when they were facing all manner of frustrations. When they were released after torturing them, this was their prayer when they came and gathered in a room. And now, Lord, behold your threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy words, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Watch verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You want revival? Don't miss fellowship. Bride of Christ, you want revival? Don't miss fellowship. Hallelujah. Don't miss fellowship. It enhances revival. Anytime you're spiritually low, don't miss fellowship. Go to fellowship. Because we are candle lights. Every one of us, we are carrying a measure of fire. And this fire can help lift up others. Because when we come together like this, hallelujah, people don't understand what happens. Let me explain something that many of you may not know. In a true church, you know, we have been made to look up to the cross, to the altar. Everybody is looking at the preacher. In fact, until some people, they have selected people that if ministers, if it is not every smart that is at the altar, or if it is not Pastor Moses that is at the altar, they switch on. If you stand up, say, they will sit and they wait. Hey, be like, say, Pastor Travolo. Be like, say, Pastor Travolo. Up to now, never come inside, though. You see what? People who don't understand fellowship, you see how they reason. Now, this is what the revelation God gave me by himself. I know better than to claim a glory that does not belong to me. Listen. Sometimes we are just praising God. Nobody has touched you. All of a sudden, you will see the sickness that is in you has gone. Don't say, we go and collect microphone. Pastor, while you were singing that song, this sister, a demon left her. It's not the pastor. It may be that brother or sister that was sitting by your side. The fire in that sister lit you and chased that demon out. You may not know it. You see, this one, God showed me this long time ago. It enhances revival. The reason is, I am only here to lead us. I am not, the totality of the anointing is not on me. This is not a denominational one-man church. This is the body of Christ. Everyone is a joint. You have something to supply. Oh, people don't understand this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know how many of you have, if you catch this revelation, among the prayers you pray before going for fellowship is, Lord, use me and bless someone today. You don't pray that prayer because your prayer is, Lord, use Pastor Moses and bless me today. Lord, use Pastor Zoe and bless me today. Lord, mention my case today through Prophet Timothy. You see where your prayers are going? Yes, you know that they have a grace that God can use to bless you. But you too, Lord, use me to bless someone. And it is not that you have to bring money to give person before the person is blessed. No. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Eh? I think one day I was coming to the altar through the children's church hall. And the coordinator was, they stood there just, and I walked to him and I shook him. I didn't know he was sick. It was later he told Mandela, Mandela, where Mandela did? He was the one that told me that the young man was in pain. He said, as soon as I shook him, just, oh, God bless you. And I shook him and I went. He said the demon left him. Hey, Pastor Moses is anointed. It's not only me, you too. That handshake, you shake somebody. Amen. The grace in you can bring deliverance on that person. We don't know it. That person singing there carries an anointing. That's why I told them on Tuesday night. I told you. I said, don't think that your own is not to stand and sing. There is another grace you have that a singer, listen, I told you that day, I said, Saul, it was God that sent a demon to be tormenting Saul. I hope you know. I hope you know. It was God that was tormenting Saul. But David, they will call David, he will come and start playing instrument and singing, not doing deliverance, just singing, the demon will leave. A demon that was sent by God, singing song will make that demon walk away. Can you see the power of music? It's a serious ministry that people don't know. That's why I have told the musicians, never you. You must do everything to resist the temptation of singing for entertainment. I said, don't do that. Sing songs that will strike somebody's problem. Sing songs that will wake up somebody from slumber, that will revive somebody. That's why in this ministry, during song worship, you see people under anointing. They are receiving revival. They are receiving a touch of God. If they didn't come, how will they receive that touch? After service, I don't know what happened. When I reach home, something just happened. Pastor, I wish you more grace. Don't be me. It may be the person that sat by your side. It may be the person that you shook hand. It may be, see, one coordinator also one day here, I was praying for a sister that was sick. I didn't know him, so he was sick. By holding the sister, he himself received healing. So he didn't need to come again for prayers. Causes get broken during fellowship. Apostle Paul said, we are not unaware of the device of Satan. Satan will always try to keep you away from the things that will bless you. Spiritually speaking, resist him. When we come together in fellowship, the benefit of fellowship, we tap from one another's gift. There are people sitting beside you that they are seeing vision concerning. God is giving them message for you. But because some of them come from these denominations where they don't allow them give messages, they will not tell you. This sister, and God won't give a pikin, Hey, see this brother, his head be like coconut in the spirit. Oh, he don't finish. You think that's the reason God is showing you, Abby? Praise the Lord. So that you understand why the Bible said this sign shall follow them that believe. That is, when we come together like this, this sign will follow them. These signs will be among us. In my name, they will speak in tongues. When we are here like this, people will be speaking in tongues. And when you speak in tongues, you yourself, you don't know what you are doing. Truly, the Holy Ghost is just using you. It may be for that brother by your side, you are speaking in that tongue. You see? And it may be just worshiping God. That is what the disciples understood. And they were having house fellowships. We created house fellowship so that you enjoy these benefits. Disciples started house fellowship, and we are returning back to that estate. Praise the Lord. In this church, every Saturday, we tell you, look for the nearest house fellowship to you. Find the brethren there. It's a lot of benefit in fellowship. That is why they gather on Sundays. The disciples gathered on Sunday. It's for fellowship. For fellowship. The disciples were always having all night prayers. It was all day, all night prayers that made Peter to be delivered. Yes. And that's the reason why we also come here. Most of our programs, prayer programs, are night programs. There's a reason we do that. Amen. And so many people testify during such programs. Many come and they feel very disappointed. They are not able to see Pastor Moses, your denominational hangover. Unless you see the pastor, your problem is not solved. No, just come. We are two or three are gathered in my name. I am there. And this God is omnipresent. He's omniscient. As he is with me here, he is with you by your side there. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, why not clap for this our God? Just clap for him. Hallelujah. That's the reason why the apostles were conducting communion service. They come together to celebrate the cross. Celebrate what makes you my brother, what makes you my sister. One person, you cannot revive yourself. Alone, you cannot revive yourself, because the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Hallelujah. That is why James chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And prayer, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him, just by the people coming together to pray for you. Number 16 is my emphasis here also. He said, confess your faults one to another. This confession is not the one Catholics do to priests. And pray one for another after the confession. The reason for that confession is to make you pray for one another. Confess your weakness. My fire is going down. I am not being carnal. I am having this problem, because your brother will join you in prayer that ye may be healed. The healing there is not just sickness and disease. Heal of whatever is that problem that is disturbing you. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If two of you shall agree concerning anything you ask, it is a sure promise. A sure promise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is why the gift of prophecy is to edify, to comfort, and to exhort. You know, when we come together, you will hear the word of prophecy. If you stay at home, how will you hear the prophecy? May God help us. And so, Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and verse 25. This is the reason he gave that admonishment. And let us consider one another. Think of one another. Care for one another. To provoke unto love and to good works. How will you provoke someone into love and good works? It's by the life you live. Then he said, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some in bright assembly is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Praise the Lord. You see why you should not forsake fellowship. The benefits are too much, too many, for anybody to beg you to come for fellowship. The benefits are too much. Some of you come late and you justify yourself for coming late. I live very far. But you will not miss your flight no matter how far you live. When the time for the flight to take off comes. You never go late to your office no matter how far you live in your office because you're afraid. Oh, glory be to God. That they will sack you. So the Bible says, without faith, revelation, it is impossible to please God. Your attitude towards fellowship is a reflection of your revelation. A reflection of your revelation. And I put down something here. Hallelujah. The friendship or true relationship starts with love. But love has a reason to be effective. Friendship or a true relationship starts with love. Before you can have a true friendship with anybody, you must love that person. But there must be something that will make you love that person, and that thing is revelation. No matter how bad your blood brother is, the fact that you know that he's your blood brother, you will never forsake him. Because he's your brother. And we love him because he first loved us. We love the brethren because we are part of each other by blood. Hallelujah. We love the brethren because of what we benefit from each other, the support we have from each other. Because I know he's always standing there for me. I know she's always there for me. When you know that there are people who are there for you, praise God. Praise the Lord. You will love them. Certainly, you will love them. Don't miss fellowship. Don't. Don't miss fellowship. That is a reflection of the cross. Pastors have various ways of forcing people to come to church. I don't have any other way to make you come to church than to tell you what the symbol of the cross is. Vertical relationship and a horizontal relationship. It pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. It pays a lot of benefit in serving this our God. A lot of benefits.
It pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. Sure.
is the blessing the world cannot give. I'm satisfied fully for Jesus to live. No man may forsake me and trials arise. I'm trusting in Jesus. His love.
of the cross in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.